Perkins Media proudly presents Moms Across America, a program where women can speak their minds openly and freely without fear of reprisal. Moms Across America is about the issues of the day confronting America from a mom's point of view. And now, here are the moms.
Hello, and welcome to Moms Across America. This is Vicki Tompkins with Ann Ubelis and our producer, Dan Perkins. We have an interesting show for you today. I say that every time because we always have an interesting show. But anyway, we have an interesting show today. We got a lot of things to talk about that is really important in our nation. And always remember to get your free constitution. We're going to say it every time. Ashbrook.org/constitution. Because if you don't know the Constitution, you don't know what your rights are. And if you don't know your rights, you don't know how to fight. And I'm telling you, you have got to know how to fight where we are today. So make sure you get that free constitution and please read it. It's an easy read, may take you 15 minutes, and I'm being generous. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Part one, Killing Charlie.
We're gonna talk a little bit about Charlie Kirk. I don't know of anybody in the world today, unless you live in the far extremes areas where there is no human connection, that you have not heard about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. He was, you know what, I'm going to tell you my first response. When, first of all, I wish to God I'd never seen the video of the actual shot. I wish I'd never seen it, but I can't get it out of my head. But anyway, when I first saw that, And I'm processing through the day, and I had just gone to a funeral, and I was just going through so many things in my head. And the first thing I think that came out of my mouth is, why did they kill that boy? I mean, he's 31 years old. He's a boy to me. I mean, he's younger than my oldest son. He's the age of my daughter. And that's the first thing I said. And I literally cried the rest of the day. I didn't know him as a friend. I had met him back in 2019, but I didn't know him like a friend. I wept most of the day, and I'm still doing it now, because he has had such an impact, not just in America, but as we can see around the world.
Right. Annie, you're up.
Charlie Kirk started Turning Point USA back in 2012, and just 2 years prior, actually 3 years prior, I had started the Tea Party with friends here in my county. And 2010, we started the first South Carolina Tea Party Coalition convention up in Myrtle Beach. And I do remember Charlie Kirk had shown up at a couple of the conventions. I didn't have the pleasure of interviewing him because I was broadcasting the podcast from there. But I do know he ran into President Trump. I think it was in Myrtle Beach was the first time they crossed paths. And I was thinking that, wow, someone as young as he, to be as patriotic and as loving of the country as he was, I said, well, that's someone to look out for. And the fact that he was paralleling what he was doing with what the conservative groups, the 9/11, the 9/12s, the Tea Parties were doing, I thought it was a fantastic thing that he was aiming at the youth. Now, most of us that were doing these things at these conventions, we were all older. You know, a lot of us were grandparents and things. But the fact he was able to reach out into the youth and do the reverse indoctrination that our schools have been doing, that our media has been doing, that he was able to turn the tables and let young kids see that there is hope and beauty in this nation and in the people in this nation. And we have a cancer that is growing within the heart of this nation that he was fighting. It was an evil. And yes, I did read the foreword to the new book by Lucas Miles. I have it downloaded on my phone, the entire book. And it's worth a reading because he said there is an evil. And it, hearkening back to the birth of Christianity, where we fought the paganism, And that's what we have now today, paganism. You're worshiping the idols of transgenderism, the LGBT community, and whatever flavor of the month they are coming up with. Mm-hmm. And the legislations and the things that are coming out of this instance, it is a power grab against the heart of America, against our constitutional rights and liberties. And I think this is one thing Charlie would want us to unite and stand forward with. And we're seeing worldwide, we see already in England, the Trump is over there with the King of England, King Charles, and you see pro-Trump rallies, Charlie Kirk rallies, pro-American rallies, when just a few years ago, we saw anti-American rallies.
That's right.
It's not just the heart of America, it's the heart of the world, I think we're fighting for now.
Thank you, both of you, for that. My perspective is not any better or any worse than yours. It's different than both of yours. I followed Charlie for a lot of time. I tried many times to try and get an interview with him. It never happened. And I understand he was a very busy person. And I want to take you back to the Democratic Convention when Barack Obama was not a candidate. He was a keynote speaker. I watched the way Charlie worked these campus visits. And I looked at how much he influenced his generation and younger generations of college students to think about a different thing. I think that had he survived, I could see him as a presidential candidate. And I could see him as somebody who would, because of all the people that he's inspired already, I can see him become a fantastic candidate because he had the ability to speak. He knew the Constitution, Vicky. He was a patriot, and he could draw people to him, and he could draw people who didn't like what he had to say like him. I think that there's one particular reoccurring theme that I saw in many of the interviews he did on college campuses. And that is that there was some smartass who would stand up at the microphone and belittle Charlie. How can you come to a college or a university and talk about what needs to be done when you don't even have a college degree yourself?
Mm-hmm.
He was a believer that in some cases college degrees were not worth the money people and their families were spending to get that worthless degree. He was a man of great knowledge, incredibly quick on his feet, be able to respond to whatever was thrown at him. And there are some people, myself included, who believe that he was single-handedly responsible for Donald Trump getting the youth vote that beyond anybody's imagination of what could happen. He actually turned that. And so I think that he had a lot of things going for him. And you're right, he had a lot of people don't know how broad internationally what the turning point was. And when we saw the million marchers supporting for him over the weekend in London, should help people understand that his appeal was global in nature. So I think that, you know, he wasn't old enough to run for president, and it would take another 5 years. But he could have been a candidate in 2012, and had he survived. And so I think
2012.
I'm sorry, 20, not 2012, 2032 or what? Yeah, 2032.
2032.
He could have been a candidate. So he had the charisma, he had the command of the knowledge, he knew how to deal with an audience. He was respectful. He believed in that document that you showed up when Vicky was talking about the Constitution. He believed in the Constitution, he believed in freedom of speech, and he believed in the Second Amendment. And so he had these fundamental beliefs that were important to him. And his communication skill made him able to get that communicated to the constituency he was going after in a big way.
What impressed me the most about Charlie Kirk Like I said, I didn't know him well, but I did watch his videos, different videos on occasion. One of the things that impressed me the most, not just his love for God and how he presented the gospel everywhere he went, but the fact that when people, so there were so many people that had so many different views than he had.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I loved about him, he was not afraid to offend someone for truth. Truth was more important to him than hurting your feelings. And when he hurt your feelings, he didn't do it in a mean way. He was just like, you know, dude, you got this wrong. But he wasn't afraid to do the, to tell the truth. And I think sometimes we as older people are more concerned about hurting someone's feelings than presenting them with the truth. And that's one of the things I loved about him. He was not afraid to present the truth.
And he did it with logic. And he just very calmly would turn around and break apart the argument. I watched one video and Candace Owens was with him and she was losing her temper. She was just going nuts. And I'm just waiting for Charlie to step in. And very calmly, he goes, "You're claiming I have white privilege. And yet you served in the military. You had the same salary as any other member of the military at your rank. You had the ability from that to go on to go to college because of the VA benefits. So where does white privilege fit in? I mean, do you have the ability to earn a dollar? You told me you don't have the ability to earn the dollar, but you do. You did. He goes, where does my white privilege change from yours, from your privilege? We can earn the same dollar at the same rank and the same thing. And then she turns around and accuses him, well, you don't have a college degree. Yet I have built a business. I have built an organization without having to need one. And I'm employing people and I am helping them build their lives and to help build this nation. He goes, where does it say I have to have a college degree? And right. I agree. I mean, I had a two-year degree in business and I owned several businesses successfully. It doesn't mean I had to have a 4-year, 6-year or 10-year degree. The college piece of paper doesn't mean squat in many instances. The person coming into your store to buy your product or your services is not asking for the piece of paper that you got from college. They're asking whether or not you can deliver the services they want and need.
That's true.
That's how he tore the arguments apart. Using calm logic and no direct insults. It's just, hey, if you get offended, I'm sorry, but these are the facts.
So
and Charlie was good at that.
So here's what I want to do, ladies. We're out of time for this segment. I think we should continue because I want to talk about next. I want to talk about the less response and the viciousness of the less response. So let's do that after this break, and we'll be right back with Vicki and Annie.
Part two, more on Charlie.
After this break.
All right.
A Trilogy Plus One by Dan Perkins, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile.
Dan, you owe me a good night's sleep, and I'm really aggravated about it. I read your books, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile, and I got to tell you, I no longer have to take any no-dos or anything like that when I want to stay awake. I just think about the plots of your books. They are absolutely frightening, devastating, in fact. But some of the best reads I've ever had, and I urge everyone to take a look at it. It's a plausible scenario and one that every American should be absolutely aware of.
Available at Amazon.com. Part two, more on Charlie.
Welcome back to Moms Across America. We're going to continue our conversation about Charlie Kirk. I think he has impacted way more people than any of us knew. I think even what he knew. I've been really, you know, we've been praying for his family because here you have, how old is his wife? 31, 32 years old and has two children to raise alone. And it just breaks my heart to see that. But I could tell she has a faith in the Lord like Charlie did. And so she's going to be okay. She's going to get through this. And I believe in my heart that the death of Charlie Kirk awakened a different type of giant. Young people like you would not believe are coming to the forefront. In fact, probably about 3 weeks ago, maybe, I met the chapter person here in Colorado. She had come by the GOP office, and I just happened to be there helping them get ready for our Lincoln Day dinner. And she came in, cute little black girl. She's just adorable. And she was introducing herself as the chapter, I don't know, president or something like that for the whole state of Colorado. And I was so excited, to see young people, being a part. I mean, I'm not old, but I'm not 25. And so to see that is such a blessing to me. And they've had rallies all over our state, and I'm sure your states have too. And just these young people, and when I say young people, I'm talking 13, 14, 15-year-olds, getting on YouTube and just sharing how Charlie Kirk has impacted their lives at such a young age. And so I think we're going to see something in this nation like we've never seen before.
Well, it's already started because first off, Erica Kirk, God bless this woman. She went on and did over a half hour speech,
Yeah, she's
and she
amazing.
basically said, "You don't know what you have done. You have awakened the sleeping giant." And she said, "I am here. I'm going to take over his shoes, and we're going to be back bigger and better than ever." And I'm hearing reports across the nation of different Turning Point USA chapters forming for the first time.
Thirty-five thousand plus.
I went to my county GOP meeting just 2 nights ago, and a young kid came up here and he goes, "We don't have one here in this county." He goes, "I'm starting it up. You talk to me." And Turning Point USA is not just for the youth. It's for those of you that are older that can help with mentoring, with guiding, with everything else, with outreach. You too, even though you're not a college kid or younger, you can help no matter what your age is. And people are cheering and willing to stand up. Now, on the 21st, as I understand, nationwide, there are going to be vigils. And there's going to be Turning Point USA people out there signing people up. So, folks, if you're in listening voice and you know of a vigil going on and you want to participate, please go out and check it out and do so lovingly and peacefully. And Dan, you sent us an email with a posting a gentleman put up on Facebook. He was a lifelong born Democrat. And what he saw going on, the vitriol, the hatred that was coming out in response to his Charlie Kirk's assassination, and how those of us that were mourning him were being insulted and put down, and how everyone was saying he deserved it because he's a Nazi and this and that. He turned around and goes, "This is not what our Lord Jesus taught us. And this is not what Charlie Kirk stood for." And he has done a 180 degree about face, and he's bringing his followers with him. I looked at the Facebook page and I'm just saying, "Oh, glory, hallelujah, thank you." And I sent him a thank you private message, says, "Thank you, brother. Stay strong."
The thing I want to continue is shocked is not the right word for me to use, but it's the only one I can think of because I was amazed at how quickly the left turned and basically said he deserved to be shot. And the comments by the Dowd who got fired within hours of the shooting when he came out and talked about, and he's gone from the MSNBC. But there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are posting on social media how much they th think it was the right thing to do for somebody to shoot and kill Charlie Kirk. And I look at it and I saw a poll on Saturday from King Polling, and they asked this question: was the assassination of a very special person, Charlie, the watershed moment, or is violence going to increase? 80% of the people who responded to the poll said it's going to increase.
Violence?
Yep, 80%. Because, as I said to you before, if everything that you've held dear to your heart and has worked for you in protesting to put Republicans and conservatives down is no longer working, you are forcing yourself into a decision of using violence. And America thinks that we are a more violent country than they can remember growing up as a child in this country. We have President Trump announced that he wants to make Memphis his next city to bring in the guard and whatever to restore law and order and protect the citizens. Most people don't know that Interpol ranks the top 10 most dangerous cities in the world. Memphis was ranked 9th mm-hmm. in the world. And so what Charlie was doing was forcing people into a situation to open up their hearts and their minds to think about what was going on and was it right what they were doing or should there be a different way? He believed in a different way. He believed in the freedom of speech, but the left is left with no other alternative except violence. So I'm expecting to see more. And if you, from my perspective, looking at all the stuff that's come out on social media with people in all kinds of different professions all over the country supporting the fact that Charlie was shot, that it was the right thing to do, tells me we've got a very sick country still.
There's something that happened around 1 a.m., I think it was this morning, that a gentleman rammed the FBI headquarters front gate in Pittsburgh. Right. And when I saw that, I reckoned back to 9/11, because shortly after 9/11, there was a gentleman that tried to ram, I believe it was a CIA headquarters down in D.C. in Arlington area. And so, yeah, we have an enemy within. We just have to be able to recognize it. And yet, conversely, if we look at the other side of the coin, Pam Bondi said she's going to have them monitor social networks and anyone with any postings supporting the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the government was going to go after. Wait a minute. That's in violation of the First Amendment right of free speech. Just yeah. How far are we going to go? Where do we prohibit free speech? And where do we protect the Constitution? Do we protect free? Do we monitor and censor free speech at the cost of our liberties? And I think at this point, Charlie Kirk would say no. Ooh. But what we can do, we can use social status. If you are someone who has such vile speech, maybe you may not get that job because you are not adhering to company policy or community policies. If you have a vile comment to make in support of Charlie Kirk's assassination, be prepared to have the other side attack you using free speech.
Exactly.
But we have to do what Charlie Kirk would want us to do, what our founding fathers gave us the tools to do. And all yes. he did was, these are the tools, use them. Our founding fathers gave them to us. This is our armament.
Important to know that it's okay to have an opinion about something. For the life of me, I do not understand whether I like a person, hate a person, love a person. Why in the world would you think it that important that you celebrate anybody's death? Charlie Kirk wasn't a criminal. He was a man trying to make things better, and you're going to celebrate his death? You have a problem. He didn't have a problem. You have the problem. And, you know, it's just like what, and I'm going to switch here a little bit. It's like what President Trump was talking about. You know, here he is trying to squelch this violence that is happening in these major cities. And you have people on certain views that think that's a terrible thing. How is that a terrible thing? It's like, where is this thought process coming from? There is a root to this. There is a root when people celebrate death. There is a root to this. And I'm going to tell you, and I may step on some people's toes, and I may have a different view on this, which is not unusual. But when you do not celebrate life at its earliest stages, and I'm talking about babies, I'm talking about babies in the womb. When you celebrate that, you'll celebrate any level of death. Doesn't matter when it comes. That is what is happening. There is a root to this. You don't just come out as a human being celebrating death. There is a, and I think it goes back to what Charlie Kirk is saying. People are being programmed to think that this is okay. And when you think something is okay and you have no moral compass, you're going to do what you think is okay. So there's going to, and I've said this before, this is not just a natural response. This is a heart issue that every person is going to have to address within themselves. This is a heart thing. When you celebrate death on any level, I mean, my goodness, I cry when I see a pet hurt. You know, I don't get it in my understanding, but I know that it is a heart issue. And that's what's going to have to change. I'm thankful that our president is saying, oh, enough is enough. If you're not going to do anything in your state, I'm the president of this entire nation. I'm going to do something.
Thank you. Let me jump in here on the comment from Annie about First Amendment freedom of speech. And I have talked to a couple of my constitutional lawyers over the weekend, and I asked them, does the Constitution give you the freedom of speech to threaten a public official? No.
It's not.
No.
Correct.
And so when those people were trying to threaten Amy Coney Bryant, a Supreme Court justice, or any other Supreme Court justice, if there are people who are using social media to issue threats of hard bodily harm to an elected official at the federal or state level, that is not protected free speech. That's not protected free speech. And if you're threatening somebody in public office, that's a crime. Yes. And so, okay, we're out of time again. So we'll be back with Annie and Vicky in just a moment.
That sound of the emergency squad happens 34 times per hour, 24/7 in the United States, carrying someone who's dying from a drug overdose to the ER. 70% of these runs are people who are dying from the vicious drug called fentanyl. Over the last 10 years, 1 million Americans have died from fentanyl. In 2019, 112,000 children ages 12 and 13 were on opioids. The fentanyl overdose rates are rising 2.5 times faster than that of heroin. Now there is an FDA-approved test for the presence of fentanyl in the system. The test is safe, simple, and 99.5% accurate. In just 5 minutes, you can find out if your child, loved one, or employee is using fentanyl. If you want to save someone's life, go to thefentanyltest.com and learn more about this dangerous drug and how you can get your 5-minute test and keep your child out of that squad.
Part 3, Gun Control.
Welcome back to Moms Across America. We're going to shift gears just a little bit, and we're going to talk about something that always comes up when there's school shootings, because there's been several school shootings here in the last week or so. And of course, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and that's gun control. I am a 2A supporting girl. Don't ask me how many weapons I have, because I ain't gonna tell you. However, what you need to know is I know how to handle them. And I think that's very important. I think that's very important. So, the reason I say that is there is a program that has started maybe 5 or 6 years ago here in Colorado, and it's called FASTER, F-A-S-T-E-R. And it means Faculty administrator, safety training, and emergency response. And I know that's a mouthful.
You bet.
The person who started this program is, her name is Laura Carno, and she lives here in El Paso County. And she saw a need because of the school shootings, not just to prevent them, but to train those when something does happen, how to respond. One of the things that she trains, not her personally, however, she does some training, but she has people who know how to train, former police officers, CIA, FBI, all these guys who know what to do in these types of situations. And if a school is interested, they will train them to carry on campus, because schools are considered what they call soft targets. When you go up to a school, 9 times out of 10, you're going to see a big sign, and that big sign says gun-free zone. First of all, if you take those signs down, that'll probably save you a lot right there. I think that's the dumbest thing you can do, is put up a sign that says, oh, we don't have guns, come on in. How? Okay, I'm not even going to go there. It just blows my mind that you would do that. So take the signs down, first of all. I think that would be a benefit, because they don't know whether there's any guns in there or not. Has probably cut down on potential school shootings here in El Paso County and the state of Colorado. It is amazing. I have people that I know personally who have gone through the training, and they say it is intense. You learn how to handle weapons. You learn how to help with wounds if a shooting does happen. I mean, it is a multifaceted program. And Laura, if you're listening, you need to go national, my friend, because they come invited by schools. They come invited by churches and other organizations who want to protect their people. And I'm telling you right now, you think about every school shooting, if you can just think of one school shooting that has happened, and think about if you had 10 or even 5 faculty members on that campus that was carrying, how different those shootings would have been. How many lives would have been saved had people been on that campus who had been trained on how to use that weapon, how to know what to look for in a dangerous situation, and be able to protect those children as well as other faculty members there on campus. How different things would be. I am, Laura actually spoke at a meeting, a club that I'm the president of, the week before. And her program has gotten better and better and better over these years. And in fact, she was doing so many things in politics and stuff like that, she had to give it up because this has gone so big to where she has to manage this now. And she is doing a phenomenal job. And I'm telling you, moms, if you want to look into this as possibly something for your school, look up FASTER, FASTER. And I think it's fastercolorado.com or .org. Look it up, see what they do. If you have questions, send Laura a question. She will get back to you. We have supported her financially from our club, because it's not cheap. Training to be good at something is not cheap. And I'm just so proud of what she's doing and how it's changing things here in the state of Colorado in regards to gun control, which is ridiculous to me.
Well, Vicki, I've done some podcasts about school security over the last decade or so, and I've looked at it from all different angles. And what we do here is we take retired law enforcement officers, mm-hmm. and say, hey, listen, you can come in and become the school resource officer. And you've got the training, you've got the knowledge, you've got the know-how, so you don't have to spend extra money in the training because you already have someone trained, and they're retired. They can have a little extra to their pension and paycheck or whatever, and we bring them in. There's other things such as ballistic boards and so forth that could be done. It's a film that can be put over the windows to help stop incoming rounds and so forth. There's a lot of things they can do physically to safeguard the buildings, but using individuals, as you said, to be there. And I think the biggest loss to our education system is the downsizing of the ROTC program. If you knew there was a group of students in there that knew how to use the firearms, and you had an instructor there that's willing to unlock them to defend the school with the ROTC cadets, I don't think you would have a big problem coming into the school. Now, growing up in the area I grew up in, kids would drive up and they'd have a hunting rack with a rifle in the back, and they'd park in the parking lot and go to class.
That was normal.
As you were saying, the gun-free zones is an open invitation. Now, if you knew there were a bunch of kids that were hunters and knew how to use those firearms, and they're running out of the building away from the fire, don't you think they're going to go and grab their weapon and come back and defend their fellow students?
Absolutely. Hey, let me tell you something. Talking about the guns, you know, the guys, I remember the guys in their big trucks, they come in there. Nobody thought anything about that. That was normal where I'm from. I grew up in a very rural area. Everybody knew how to shoot a gun. Everybody, you know, most of the men went hunting, you know, to bring food home, that kind of stuff. And I can remember in the seventh grade. So that's considered middle school now. We had to go through, now this is North Carolina. I don't know how it is in other states, but it's my understanding that this is still in the books in North Carolina. Every student had to go through and pass a gun safety course, a boat safety course, because that was something that was normal in our area, where you would go fishing out on boats and you'd go hunting. So we had to learn all the safeties of, and you had to pass it. If you didn't pass it, you didn't pass seventh grade. And so maybe we need to get back to that, you know, just the basics of how to handle a weapon. No one should be afraid of a gun. A gun will not stand up and shoot anybody.
No, it's the person behind the gun. And I was reading a little editorial. Someone wrote a little blurb up and he goes, you know what? Someone said guns kill. So I went on my front porch. I put my gun down on the table by the front porch. I walked away. I came back 6 hours later and that gun didn't get up and shoot anyone.
Nope.
But here we have, right now we have a bipartisan reform act. And believe it or not, coming through Congress, this is the Gun Reform Act. The establishment of the Charlie Kirk Common Sense Gun Reform Act. Do you think Charlie Kirk would want anything to do with any of this?
Absolutely not.
It is a background check to buy ammo, a background check, a stop on bump stocks, a stop on guns capable of multiple rounds. They're calling them machine guns, and so on, so on, and so forth. Federal background guns, Office of Gun Violence Prevention, a conditional concealed carry reciprocity. It is called a bipartisan, and they're not naming anyone specific in it. Because not. Because you know that it's going to backfire on whoever is backing this thing. But you see, state after state after state is now saying gun violence, we have to cut down. I mean, I'm sorry.
I saw Charlie doing a podcast, or not a podcast, but one of his shows. And this girl was asking him, she said 30,000 kids are killed each year through shootings. And he said, well, first of all, your numbers are wrong. It's not 30,000 shootings like she's talking about school shootings. It's 30,000 total. And he said, well, okay, based on what you were stating, we should get rid of guns. Everybody should turn in their guns, because 30,000 young people are killed every year with guns. He said, so are we going to get rid of cars? And of course, she's confused. He said, well, 50,000 people are killed each year in car accidents. So, based on your, and he said, based on your logic, we should get rid of cars as we get rid of guns, because more people, because you said this is all about people, more people are killed in car accidents than by guns. So, based on your logic, there should be no cars. Well, no, that's totally different. No, it isn't. He said, if you're talking about the number of people who are dying at a certain, because of a certain thing, from guns to cars to bikes to whatever, based on your logic, we should not have cars. And people, that's what's called critical thinking. I taught that for 9 years. Critical thinking, where you think out a situation or situations and logically look at them and say, well, it really doesn't make sense.
But at one point, the statistics were more people died from hammers than
Yes.
guns. So I'm
Yes.
sorry, everyone has at least one hammer in their household. So do
At
we
least.
outlaw hammers? The logic is not there. I mean,
It's
more people
not.
die from heart attacks. So do we outlaw trans fatty foods? Do we outlaw McDonald's, deep fried chicken? Do we outlaw all these things that will cause coronary disease if you eat them wrong?
Exactly.
So let me give you some numbers.
Uh-oh.
These are from the Justice Department, and what they've been studying the issue of gun and gun violence for over 10 years. And this is what they found, that in 2024 there were 22,000 homicides in the United States, with over 75% of them being guns. Now, they also found out by interviewing incarcerated convicted felons about who they killed, why they killed them, where did they get the gun. 53% of the respondents said they came in, I bought them in the black market.
Yep.
And others bought them on street corners, and the others bought them from dealers. So when they asked, how many of you that are incarcerated actually had a gun that you legally bought? 2%. 2% of the killings in the United States, homicides that were done with guns, were done with legally bought weapons. Number two, taking Annie's car situation, or drugs and food. So we had 22,500 people that were killed last year. We
Fantastic.
had 43,000 people who killed themselves, and 75% of the time with a handgun that they either bought legally or was in the house legally owned by somebody in the house. So shouldn't we be, if we're killing, if 43,000 people are killing themselves in suicide, and the predictions is it's going to get worse, shouldn't we be doing something about suicide prevention? Because we can save a hell of a lot more lives than we can by trying to stop people who legally can own guns from getting them.
And if suicide, if you take away the gun, they will find another method in which
They'll
to
find
kill
another way.
themselves. They'll find another way. They always do. If they
Yeah.
decide that is what they want to do, that is what they are going to do. But to
Yeah.
do a proactive suicide prevention ahead of time, when they're showing the first signs, that's important. And you
That is
save
very
lives by
important.
that. That if you take away the guns, the only people that have the guns is the government or the bad guys. And then the
Exactly.
rest of us are in the middle and we're victims.
Right.
Sitting ducks.
And with that, we need to take a break to come up on the fourth segment, which would be the wrap. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Wow, that went fast.
Yeah.
Like as soon as we got started, it was gone.
Vicki, I would like both you and Annie to speak to this. What do you think about having the lady come in and doing an interview with her on her program?
Who, Laura?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah, and
Can
I
you?
actually I saw our state superintendent of schools on Monday night, and I'd like to take that program. I'm going to send a link to her to see if she can do some sort of incorporation to it statewide. Because I know what we do countywide, but statewide, this would be great.
So if can you reach out to her and we'll try and figure out a date. Maybe we'll do two segments with her.
Okay.
But I based on what you're telling me, it sounds like a terrific idea.
Yes, it's an awesome program. Awesome program.
And I'll have her online too.
So yeah. if you can send me her contact, you can talk to her. And if you send me her contact, especially a phone number, tell her to expect a call from me that I want to talk to her about the show.
And me.
Pardon?
I said, and me.
And Annie.
me too.
I still have her number.
Yeah, I think thank you for finding that for us. And I think it would be a wonderful segment.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. When she talks about the program, I'm just impressed with what she's done.
Right. Okay. So here we go. We're going to do the wrap. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Welcome back to Moms Across America. And we are in our wrap up of today's show. We first started out talking about Charlie Kirk, and I think we incorporated him in every part of our segments today because he's influenced a lot of different parts of our nation. So Charlie Kirk, like I said, I can't get out of my head right now. What I saw on the video, it was just horrific. The fact that his family was there, I don't know how much his children saw, but they were there. It's just horrible to think of a child seeing that. I hope to God they didn't. I believe in my heart that the impact that Charlie Kirk had with Turning Point, his podcast and everything is going to be a positive effect in our nation. I know some think that the violence may continue. And I think with some people, you're just not going to be able to stop it. That's just who they are. But I think overall, you're going to see more people stand up and speak as Charlie Kirk did. What do you guys think?
I'm curious. I want to ask you a question about what you just said. Do you think, Vicki, that the left underestimated the reach of his ministry?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm telling you, that's one of the problems with the left. They think nothing through. They just respond. They just plan violence. They plan bad. They don't think about what the ramifications would be. And I mean, I'm telling you, I think the last count I saw was almost 60,000 requests for new chapters across the country. They're going to more than double what they had at his death.
So I can't tell you, I can tell you where I heard it, but I can't tell you who originated the thought. I'm going to try and run it down. But Jesse Waters' program last week, he made this comment. What the left doesn't understand, and a lot of people on the right don't understand, that Charlie Kirk, was in fact a freedom fighter, and he was, as much as Martin Luther King or anybody else, he was a man committed to people and their rights and responsibilities, and that he was a true patriot, and he brought that passion that he had, as did Martin Luther King and other people, that will transcend him now that he's gone. As you said, more and more people are going to do that. But they used specifically this term. They said Charlie Kirk was a civil rights activist.
Yes.
And a man of faith, strong, strong faith. Because no matter what, wherever he went, he not only spoke about patriotism, but he spoke about his faith in Christ. And Erica is a Roman Catholic, and he had begun attending Roman Catholic Church, and there was talk about him becoming converting to Roman Catholicism because he believed in the Virgin Mary. Mm-hmm. He didn't understand why the Protestant religions did not understand the concept of the Immaculate Conception and the Virgin Mary. So he was a man of very, very strong faith. So you can't separate his patriotism from his faith the same way you can't separate it from the founding fathers, because it was Judeo-Christian beliefs that helped found this nation, creating the Declaration of Independence with our unalienable rights granted by the Creator. And by our Constitution, understanding the freedom that of will that God gave us, but also understand the Ten Commandments that were built into the Constitution.
You said something very important that people need to understand, particularly about Charlie Kirk, but also about just our nation as a whole. Charlie Kirk was a person who believed and knew, and you can look at the Constitution, if you read it, you'll see this, that our rights came from God. Our rights don't come from the government. The government cannot dictate what our rights are. Our rights and our freedoms come from God. And Charlie Kirk emphasized that all the time. And moms, if you read your Constitution, that's exactly what you will see in our Constitution, because the founding fathers believe that as well. It's not the government that gives us our freedoms. And to go a little bit further about what President Trump has been doing about cleaning up these cities that have so much violence, I'm telling you, that's part of our freedoms. When you are hamstrung by the violence in your city, you are not free. And these people who are causing this in these cities, such as, where is he going? Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
That is infringing on your rights as an American citizen. And President Trump is wanting us to be free as well. And you can't be free when you can't walk out your door at night. You can't be free if you're afraid to go to the grocery store because somebody might hit you over the head and take your money. Those are the types of things that I think is important when it comes to what President Trump is doing with the National Guard. I'm so happy that he's doing it, because those who are causing us to be less free, they need to be held accountable.
Do you think, Vicki, that following what you were just saying there, do you think that because of the intimidation of crime, you mentioned all the freedoms that people have lost, but I'm reminded of a movie called Network, when the guy sticks his head out the leading actor of the window, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. Is that where we are as a country, or at least with some significant portion of us? We're mad as hell about crime, and we're finally going to do something about it?
Well, I think so. And I think what we're also saying is we're demanding of our government to get this done. And I think that's one of the reasons that President Trump is so motivated, because of the amount of crime. I mean, what was the, I looked up a statistic that in 2024, Memphis was the highest of murder and violent crime in any large city. So out of 30 large cities, this is cities of over 500,000 people, or 500,000 and more, they had 40.6 homicides per 100,000 people. Mm-hmm. And the next to that was 25.5 in the Capitol and in D.C. Mm-hmm. So it's even higher than the crime rate in D.C. It has to stop. And I think the American people are tired of it. They're tired of cowering in their homes. They're tired of not being able to go out or take their kids to the park and think that they're going to be safe.
Yeah,
I think people are tired of it.
I want to add one thing here, because the foreword to Pagan Threat by Lucas Miles that Charlie Kirk wrote, in it he wrote, "Casual Christians like to imagine we have already won a permanent victory over the worshipers of Moloch, Baal, and Jupiter. But these gods are now back with a vengeance, bearing new names like progressivism, tolerance, and social justice. This new paganism says a lot about freedom. But just like the old pagans, Its ultimate agenda is domination and moral anarchy. Is this that, not what we see in our cities today?
Yes. When we first moved here to El Paso County back in 1996, we probably could have just left our doors unlocked. It was that safe. There's no way I'd do that today.
Right.
It has gotten so bad. In fact, my daughter made a comment. She said, "Mom, I can remember when our city, you just never heard of a murder or somebody being assaulted. You didn't hear of that when we first moved here." And she says, it's like every day now you hear something is happening.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, Vicki, one of the last presentations that Charlie Kirk did, he was in a discussion with a college student who was saying that we are a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Kirk said, "No, we're a federal republic."
Mm-hmm.
And the young man said, well, the Constitution says here that we're a democracy. Charlie said,
"Not once.
Show me your Constitution, young man, where the word democracy is used." Well, he said, "It's implied." He said, "No, it's not." and he asked the young man, "Do you know what the difference between a democracy and a federal republic are?" And he said, "No." Charlie said, "Go back and read your Constitution and come back and we'll continue the conversation." Because he was obviously digging. It's like this: if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. This young man just couldn't help himself. He had to continue to dig. In our last segment, we talked about gun control. And Vicki has this organization that she's met the founder. And we're going to try and get her on the show. But I was impressed with what you told me. And I only got a chance to glance at the website. But I mentioned this, I think, last week with Annie. My youngest granddaughter lives in Westchester County, New York, north of New York City, in a town called Cross River. And she's in elementary school. She's in the seventh grade. There are 15 officers in her building at all times. The cameras, the cameras are everywhere. It's a public school, Vicki, not a private school, a public school. The cameras are on down the hallways, in classrooms, entrances, and there have police officers traveling the hallways from 8 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock at night. And I said to her, "Well, how do you feel about that?" She said, "I feel safe. I feel safe."
How much in taxes is that costing?
But
how much in taxes is that costing? We're just common sense gun laws that protect the citizen to be able to carry legally and confidently would have to eliminate. You'd maybe need one or two, if that, and you have the security cameras. But if you have an armed legal citizen, they are far more powerful than having a cop over there, and you've got 15. I'm sorry. What are you going to do? I'm sorry. I would say 14 out of the 15 probably are sitting around with their thumb up their tush because there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. I mean, at one point, Florida would have a sheriff living on the campus. They would put a mobile home up there and say, "Hey, listen, you're 24/7. I mean, when you're not on duty, you're going to have someone else patrol, but you're here. And if anything happens, you're out in the mobile home, you come rushing on over." Simple things like that, or like Vicky's friend is doing, or what we're doing, where you get retired officers going in and saying that. But here in South Carolina, you don't need a permit to carry a firearm. It just has to be purchased legally.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I wish it was like that here in Colorado, but you have to get a permit to carry, and it's ridiculous.
And yet in reciprocity in most states, you need to have a permit in order to go and cross over.
That's right. Now
you've got, I think, 27 states fighting against that, saying, "We don't want you even here if you have a permit." But
exactly.
I'm sorry, the Second Amendment is a federal law. federal. It's not a state law. In your state law, your local county and city law cannot usurp a federal law. It doesn't work.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, look up faster, and maybe Dan can put it up on the screen so you guys can go and check it out. And maybe there's an area where you can contact Laura and her team. And I'm probably putting her on short notice that this might go national because it needs to. It needs to. It's time for her to cross state lines.
Okay. Take us home, dear.
All right. Well, thank you, Moms Across America, for joining us today. We hope you have a great week. And always remember, Moms Across America, you are America. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
God bless.